sir, before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Hale, H-A-L-E.
Okay, Mr. Hale, would you again state your name and your ADC number for the record, sir?
Thomas Hale, 354-806.
Mr. Hale, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency today inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections, the Arizona Department of Corrections, for a 412B or 411 hearing. That is, to be paroled to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Is that the reason that you're appearing before this board this morning, sir?
Yes, sir. I don't think so.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir, based on information that we have at the board, we do take note that you are currently serving a sentence for murder first degree, which started back on, June the 4th, 1990, and you became parole eligible for that particular offense on September the 2nd, 2015. If you're paroled to your next consecutive sentence, you would be paroled to burglary in the second degree, which would be a 7.6-year sentence, which would be consecutive. And then you would have one sentence left, and that would be a 21-year sentence for sexual assault. Is that your understanding, the reason that you are before this board today, sir?
Yes, sir.
And based on information that we have, we take note that the last time you appeared before this board would have been September 14, 2016. At that time, I would have been the only board member that's participating in your hearing today that would have been on the board. Everybody else has been appointed since then. So let me introduce you to the board members at this time. To my right, to your left, is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. To my immediate right, that is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis. To my left, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And to his left is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as panel chair as well as board chair, sir. Just want to let you know who you will be talking to. I did have the opportunity to see you September of last year, sir. I do take note.
Yes, sir.
I do take note that you, your discipline, your last discipline, I guess, would have been in 2012, violation of department policies, and that would have been a minimum. And in 2010, conspiracy to commit, and that would have been a major. Have you had any other disciplines more recent than those, sir?
No, sir.
So you've been doing okay the last few years. I do take note, sir, that in your progress report, you had a number of programs, and I only see one recent. Why have you had any more programs recently, sir? I see them go back to 08, 09, 01, and back in 95, so forth. But why haven't you had any programs recently, sir?
Well, sir, I've taken everything available, and I've got certificates for everything available. The only thing I've been going through to consistently and since that time is AA and NA meetings, but I've got all the other certificates for program except SOETP, and they're not allowing me to take that class because of my life sentence, and there's too many people that are getting out soon that I can't take their chair. So they're not letting me into that program with this life sentence that I have.
And I do understand that, sir, and that's part of the policy, as it shows here, policy 923. But I want to ask you a question about that one. You can't take the class because your life sentence, and that's the policy of the Department of Correction, and we know, and I do understand and respect the policy. But since the offense, which we'll talk about in a few moments, took place all the way back in 1989, have you given any thought whatsoever what made you do this, sir? And I'm speaking specifically of the rape. Anything in your mind that triggered that at that particular moment, sir?
Well, sir, since that time, I've had plenty of time to reflect, and my alcohol and drug abuse problems certainly were the major factor, and I wasn't thinking, and I don't recall too much of it, but I do remember I take responsibility for it. And what triggers that is my upbringing. I was adopted, and before that I lived in foster homes. I don't know if that could have been a repressed feelings of hatred or something like that, but I just I've had so long to think about it. So many times I've thought about it, and that's the only thing I can come up with, is it was just feelings of my childhood was bad.
Okay, sir. I'm just going to make a brief statement about, since I brought it up, about the offense itself, which according to information that's been presented to the board, pre-sentence report, and other information, that the offense itself took place by June 16, 1989. At that time, you entered the residence of a 78-year-old victim, female victim. You went in through the kitchen window, and you assaulted and raped the victim, and that's what I was talking about, the rape in particular at this particular time. You raped this 78-year-old female, and you were still young at that particular time, and then you went in there to steal some articles and items rather, and this lady, this victim, she was crippled and deaf, and she was found laying on the floor between two beds and the items were knocked out of her suitcases, and her body was extremely bruised. Chest was crushed, and her jaw and nose were broken, and which was just horrific. But I do take note, sir, that on October 28th of that same year, I believe that you might have contacted the Mesa police and confessed the homicide, and said that you didn't mean to kill her, but you wanted to you just wanted to knock her out so that she would stop screaming, and so that you could steal these items, and you was going to take these items and go out and buy some cocaine with the money that you would get from them. Is that halfway right, wrong, or indifferent, sir?
Yes, sir. That's true.
And I also would just take note, just for the record, that between 1979 and 1989, when this offense was committed, you had picked up 25 arrests. I'm not saying all of them were felonies, but you had 25 arrests. I actually counted them, and I mean that you were pretty busy out there in the criminal justice system. So what happened? I mean, I know you said that you were that you were adopted, and that you I guess moving from house to house, but any other reason why you was committing all these crimes, sir?
It was the recurring theme was the alcohol and the drugs. I was pretty bad off. I was an alcoholic by the time I was 17, and that started just the cascade of problems, drinking and driving daily, and the shoplifting charges and stuff like that is what I mainly had as far as criminal record.
Okay, and it seemed to me that you, according to the, I think I got this from the pre-sentence report, that you was going to, the items that you stole, you was going to trade them in to get some cocaine. Was cocaine your drug of choice at that time, or was that some other drugs that you would have been trying to buy at that time, sir?
I believe it was cocaine, but the main thing was the alcohol. I was drinking all the time, and then the cocaine and the other drugs were just is what compounded the issues and made me to where I was insane. I really was insane. I don't know how else to say it. I wasn't lucid most of those years.
We usually ask this question when it comes to drugs. When we ask this in terms of alcohol, what type of alcohol were you drinking during that period of time, sir?
Just anything I could get a hold of, sir. I was beer, hard liquor, it didn't matter. I would just drink whatever I could get a hold of. and I've had a test to drop here in prison since that day. I've never had a dirty urine. I've grown to hate alcohol. I hate drugs and what it has done to me in the past.
You haven't even had any hoops since you've been incarcerated, sir?
No, sir.
Well, so you've been resisting all of that. Now, let me go back to the original question, then I'll go to other board members who've never had an opportunity to talk to you. But I'm trying to understand, and I know you've given, you know, the alcohol and the drugs and so forth, but why would you, young man, at that time, I understand, but I do not condone, by no means. I understand that you was going to rob, going in the house to steal some items, to buy some drugs. But what made you rape this 78-year-old deaf, well, maybe not yet deaf, and someone who was crippled? What made you do that, sir? I just can't comprehend that part of the crime itself. What happened? What was in your mind? I mean, this was a 78-year-old person who was crippled and deaf, and yet you raped her using alcohol. I grant you that and drugs, but what possessed you to do that, sir?
Sir, I wish I had an answer for you that I could understand myself. I'm looking back at this thing like I'm on the outside looking at it, and I can't even believe I did those things. There is no excuse, and there's no people of right mind would do that. And I don't understand why I did that. What would possess me to do that? I've cried about it so many times. I wish there's so way I could have taken that back, but there's no way that I could have. And I don't even remember most of that night, most of my things. That's how bad I was. I woke up pretty much with people telling me what I did that night. That's how I put everything together. But I accept responsibility. But I wish I could tell you what possessed me to do that. It's just so horrible, so horrific. I can't even imagine myself doing something like that. And that's the honest to God's truth.
Let me just ask this final question. I said that was going to be the final one. What possessed you to turn yourself into the police department, the Mesa Police Department, in October of that year? What happened there? Why did you? Because several months had passed, the offense had taken place in June, and this was all the way into October before you turned yourself in. So why did you turn yourself in, sir?
Well, sir, I called the detectives that were questioning me from the county jail where I was at, because I wanted to just get rid of this horrible burden that was on me. And I felt that if I would just come clean and before the sight of God at the time, I just wanted it to be over with. And I wanted to just come clean. It was tearing me up inside. I remember clearly at the time when I called them. And I confessed everything to Detective Cardellano, that he was also on my side as far as coming clean with what would happen to me in the afterlife. And I know I'm paying my price here on earth for this, but at least I can look at myself in the mirror somewhat to what I confessed to, you know. And ever since then, I haven't regretted confessing one bit. That's the way I can look at myself. It's the only way I can look at myself in the mirror at now. And I know that even if by some miracle from God that I do make towards my next number, it will still be, I'll still be in my 80s before I even get out. And even at that time, even if I live to be that long, I'm still going to never regret calling the police from the county jail and coming clean.
Okay, sir. Okay, at this time, I'm going to yield to other board members who might have some questions for you at this time. Distinguished board members, questions for Mr. Hale.
Okay.
Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Hale, is there, I'm looking at some the court sentencing documents, and it appears there's restitution owed. Is that correct?
I believe so, sir.
Okay. So have you paid any of that? Does the department hold restitution money out of your wages there, or?
No, I believe it says something like that in there about me having to serve my 25 years or I sentenced first before they would start taking out the wages.
Okay.
Something like that, but I'm going to have to go through and double check.
Right, well, that's okay. I'm just looking at something that looks like about $2,500 on the document I'm looking at.
Yes, sir, it was $1,700 plus $500 or something else.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so very much. Any further questions by board members? I don't see any further questions by board members at this time, sir. We're coming to the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. Anything else you want to tell the board, sir, without repeating yourself?
Well, sir, I would like to thank you for your time, and I respect any decisions you make, and I fully accept everything. And I just want to let you know that if I am granted parole to Mike's number, that I will even try harder to get at the root of what may have caused me to do that horrific crime. And hopefully I can get into the SOETP program, the Sex Offender Treatment Program that they're offering here. And that's what I'm hoping to do, is try to get to the root of my problems even more. And I will never stop going to AA here in prison in my AA classes. I still go to those. And if any other new classes pop up that I haven't taken, I will jump on it and take those too. And I respectfully thank you for your time and consideration.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Hale. And at this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And following this discussion, the board will be back to you with its decision. As you know, having been before the board before, we operate under the open meeting laws, and everything that we do is done in public. Therefore, please stay on the phone and watch us as we deliberate. And therefore, at this time, the board is going into discussion. It may sound like we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. Any board member wishes to lead off the discussion on Mr. Hale this morning? I don't see any other board member who wants to lead off the discussion. I guess I will lead off the discussion. I find Mr. Hale to be a very interesting person to speak with. He articulates well. To the best of his knowledge, I believe he's being honest with the board as it relates to the original offense itself. I do take note that he has not had a major, I don't believe, major discipline, when I say major discipline, since 2010, which would have been some 7 years ago, and his last minor would have been in 2012, which would have been about five years ago. Therefore, he's adjusted quite well. As he indicates, and that's not his fault, because one of the things that I would like to have seen, but I recognize and respect the policy of the Department of Correction, and that would already to have been some training in this SOETP program. But however, because of this policy 923, he's not eligible to participate in that. Currently, according to Ames, he's 56 years of age, and is he has, in addition to, he's currently serving this murder sentence, 25 to life, and if we parole him to his next consecutive sentence, he would still have 7.6 years plus 21 years to remain incarcerated. Maybe he might get some time off for whatever reason, but in terms of actual calendar years, that's what it shows. And as he indicated, that would push him into his 80s before he would be eligible for release. At this time, I just cannot, I want to hear from other board members, I just cannot overlook the crime itself. That's what worries me. And I know that he's had a number of years to think about it, but this 78-year-old victim who's crippled and deaf, I just can't get that out of my mind. But I want to listen to some other board members, what they might think at this time. One of them is Rittenhouse.
Dr. Wright, thank you. I agree with you, and I would just also point out for the record that the Maricopa County has sent a letter dated November 20th, 2017, opposing any possible release. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Any further discussion? Not honorable, Mr. Johnson?
I have an agreement with you. This is a 78-year-old victim. I'm still not quite understanding what sparked it, what led him to actually get involved in this crime. And actually, I do understand in the report when he says that he was, didn't mean to kill him, but he was only trying to silence him. But he physically beat this woman, broke her jaw, face of fractures that she actually had. So I'm just not comfortable with him being released back out in the community.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion at this time. Therefore, I'm going to move to deny Mr. Thomas Hale, ADC number 054806. Parole to his next consecutive sentence for absolute discharge, and that is my motion at this time.
Agreed.
Anybody interested? And I'm also requesting a 1-year set off. Any objection to a 1-year set off?
No, sir.
None. And reasons for the now, serious and valid offense, loss of human life, she did die, serious and deviant behavior, trauma to the victim, age of the victim. Usually we talk about young victims, but this time we talk about someone who was 78 years of age and seriously bodily injuries, in as much as a nose was broken and so forth. I would also, a release plan would not be necessary at this time at any rate. I don't see any family members present, and I'm still looking. I don't see any letters from family members. Did any of you see letters from family members or community support? Therefore, I'm going to check that as well. Anything else that any board member feels that would be appropriate for us to include at this time? Okay. Well, I'm also going to this is just history here, a violator of previous probation and parole in that period, that 10-year period when he had all of those crimes that he was had committed as a young person. Anything else? Okay, hearing nothing else from board members. Sir, the board has voted unanimously to deny you your parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. You have a 1-year set off, and I have stated the reasons for the now. Do I need to repeat anything, sir? And you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to come before this board again in about a year from now. It may not be exactly a year from now. And once you're certified by the Department of Corrections, the board will place you on its calendar, and the board will look forward to seeing you at that time, sir. Your hearing is over, and please put the CO3 back on the phone, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.